And now we continue our series on the films nominated for Best Documentary Feature at this year's Academy Awards, with the first Palestinian film to be nominated for that Oscar. Five Broken Cameras tells the story of the village of Bilin in the West Bank. In 2005, Israel's security barrier went right through the village and cut off some fields and olive groves on the other side. It's also the story of Emad Burnat, who got a video camera to record the birth of his son, became the village's unofficial cameraman, and then the documentarian of weekly anti-wall protests that drew support from around the world. The film shows his infant son grow to be a five-year-old boy, and it shows how occupation and resistance affect his family, his friends, and his village. The co-directors of Five Broken Cameras join us from our bureau in New York, Emad Burnat and Guy Davidi. Thanks for being with us. Congratulations on the nomination.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Emad Burnat, this is your story you see in the film. Was there a moment when you realized that you needed to be the documentarian, that you needed to record all these events?
Yeah, first of all, when I started in 2005 to document and to follow the events and to record, it was part of the struggle in my village with my people for many purposes, to protect the people and to be a witness and to use the footage in different TV agency or channels. So very early in 2005, when people came to participate in demonstration and action in my village from everywhere, from Israeli activists or international activists and people who came to make films about the subject, about Palestine or about the wall, about the story of my village. So because I was the only one who document there and who has a camera, so I was there for 24 hours when everybody leaves. So they were asking me to give them footage and to help them for their documentary. So the idea came from one of my friends to make a documentary about the village and about myself. So I got the idea, so I started thinking about to make a personal film and to make it from my personal perspective, from my point of view, then because, you know, it's not easy to live there and to feel the same feeling. And so I live there. This is my life. This is my daily life. And everything what happens there connected to me and related to me. So I was affected with my friends and my family and the village. So I started following the characters and my friends, my close friends like Adib and Basim, and following my son Jibril and creating the footage for the film. So I proposed my friend Guy Davidi to help me and to come to the project. So we started together to construct and to write the text and to work on this film. So together we created I think very important story and very important film.
Guy Davidi, your friend, let me ask you how you got involved in this, and then you're looking at I assume a whole lot of footage, and how do you reduce that to a documentary?
I've been joining with other Israeli activists to different demonstrations in the West Bank to support villages whenever they started the nonviolent movement. So when in 2005, when the movement reached Bilin, I joined the people to support them. And I made few films, and I lived in the village for a few months, which was a very rare thing for an Israeli to do, to go and stay and spend time with the villages. But the hospitality and generosity of people was amazing. And when Emad called me, it was already after a long period of time that he was filming and he was doing his incredible work. And when he approached me to do the project, I thought that at least in one film that is dealing with the occupation, because there were so many films that were done about this subject, but here it's me who is empowering his voice, who's trying to help him to raise his voice and not to try to create kind of balanced film where two of our point of view are the same. He is mm-hmm. Israeli, he is Palestinian. No, this is his story. So the whole construction of the film was trying to script and to create links between what's happening in his personal life and in his family, and then to create links with what's happening in the village at the same time, and to create a sense of time and a sense of development, because repetitiveness is very important to understand occupation. You have five broken cameras. You have a lot of Imad's brothers got arrested. So a lot of things are repeating on themselves. So one of the biggest challenges in the editing is to find a way how to create a sense of development, that things go go further and further, and it's not just kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's interesting that repetitive nature, the protests every Friday, the demonstrations, even the tear gas canisters take on they become pretty predictable.
Yeah, it's a kind of a ceremony. It's a Friday ceremony. So and it's a ceremony where you never know what's going to happen. You can go to a very big demonstration and nothing happens, but in a small demonstration that seems quiet, someone gets shot. So
Emad Bernat, there was also personal costs for you in the film. We see one of your close friends hit by a stun grenade and killed.
Yeah, to be there and to live there all my life and to face the soldiers every day, every night, it's not easy. So I was related to this place. I my mind in this place and my heart in this place. So I my responsibility to do this and to film and to protect the people and to focus and to follow the events in the village. It's not someone who came from outside to shoot some shots and to make a film. I mixed everything, the filmmaking and the mind and the heart and the blood, everything to work and to be there. So to be in risk situation, it's not easy for everybody or for everyone who just come from outside.
The way you tell the story, this is not an anonymous protester who was killed. This is a man we have come to know through your camera.
Yeah, he was very close to me. He was my friend and with other friends that we were close together. And he, I was following him even before, since 2005. And he was also a friend of my kids and a friend of Jibril. And he has relationship with Jibril, a very strong relation with Jibril. So you can see in the film many shots with Jibril and Phil. And Jibril, my son, was shocked by the killing of Basim, as well everybody in the village and around the village.
I should just explain, Phil was Basim's nickname, elephant, as he's called.
Yeah.
There's one scene, the film is in Arabic very largely, and I wanted to play one clip, though, and ask you about the decision to include it or not. This is your wife, Soraya, pleading with you to stop filming so that you would stop being injured and stop being arrested.
عيمات شوفت شو بيصير فينا من ورا هذا التصوير من ورا هذول الشغلات شوفت وكم بيجوا كاتب عندك لو كم جد عمال وهاد بعرف ايش كيف هذول بفتشوا وكم باخذوا كم جد شو بدنا نسوي انا والاولاد عمال.
And those of us who do not speak Arabic can still hear her concern and her anger and her frustration.
Yeah, I was affected by this as my family. We were suffering during the last 7 years and from this what's happened in the village. I was shot many times and my cameras were broken, were shot by bullets and gas canister. And I've been arrested twice. I've been very far from the family for a long time in jail or in house arrest. So they were suffering and they were alone. So she wants to stop. She was worried about me, and she want just to me to be safe and to stop to put my life at risk because she want me to be with the family. So to take care of the kids, and this is where we live and where we grow up and what we come through over all the years. And so I hope that what I was doing can change something in the future. So, but she know now that's what I was doing. It's very important, and she supported me all the way because many people around the world now can watch the film and be informed about the situation in Palestine and the reality and the truth of the Palestinian life, not just propaganda or reports or news.
Guy Davidi, there's another nice scene in the movie where the footage start to be shown to the villagers, the subjects of the film, in a way on TV screens. We see them sitting around watching it, and it made me think there must have been a similar scene when you went back to screen the documentary after it was finished.
It's funny. Yeah, I've been trying to promote the film in Israel to be screened in the educational system in Israel, not just in cinemas and television, but try to reach out to school, to high schools, because these kids, Israeli kids, are they're going to be recruited to the military service, and they're going to be posted in positions, and they're going to be brainwashed by the military. So this is the most important time for this generation to try and understand and see what's going on in their country under their responsibility, or it will be their responsibility since they are minors. But so I've been documenting several screenings that I've been doing in high schools, and the reactions are amazing. Sometimes they are very hard to hear. Sometimes these children are in shock, but sometimes you can see that there is kind of an emotional openness that allows them to understand better what's going on.
And have any of those screenings been in some of the settler communities?
Oh, no, it's just for now we're just doing an alternative program. So we're trying to reach the high schools that are where we are invited and are willing to accept us, because the Ministry of Education in Israel is not accepting this kind of film to be an official part of the program. So we have to kind of work on the side. So to get into settlers, high schools will be another challenge later on.
We're speaking with the co-directors of the film Five Broken Cameras, one of those nominated for Best Feature Documentary at this year's Academy Awards. Our guests are Emad Bournat and Guy Davidi. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Emad Bournat, of course, recording these events became very important in life. It became who you were and what you did. And then making the documentary, did you ever imagine that it would have this much impact?
Working on this film, and it was clear to me that my goal is to reach the people and to let the people know about our life, about our daily life, about the Palestinian situation. But in the beginning, when the film was screening first in Holland, I didn't expect all these reactions and fans and this success. So since last year, the film was very successful and was shown in every different countries over all the world, and the people like it and love it, and people being touched and moved about the story, and because it's story connected to the humanity.
And tell us, what is the situation in your village now?
The situation is still the same situation. There's no change in the situation because we're still living under the Israeli control, under the occupation. So there's no change. I hope that this film can give people more attention and can pay attention to the Palestinian subject, so we can make peace for the kids, for the next generation, for my son Jibril.
And how is your son?
He's 8 years old now, and he's good. He's okay. He's he's continue his life as normal, and it's not normal life for kids in Palestine to grow up to porn and to grow up in this situation. They were affected by different situation in the village or in the West Bank, and this is the life where we live.
And I have to, yes, it's the life you live. There's a moment after your friend is killed and your son expresses incredulity and asks you why, in fact, you don't attack the Israeli soldiers with a knife, and you explain to him some of the realities that a 4-year-old, 5-year-old boy, he's growing up awfully quickly. And you speak in the narration at that moment about anger and hatred. Is he growing up with anger and hatred?
I think the situation is not good to create or to grow up in this situation for kids. It's not normal situation. So kid like Jibril, to be connected to Basim, and just Basim was killed in one moment, and he was affected by this, and we live in this situation, and he faced the soldiers every day in the road, around the house, and in the field. So it's became like a normal life, and became for him, it's for kids to know more about political subjects or about the situation in the village. And he knows very well where we live, and because we don't need to teach him or to teach the kids about our subject. They know because they live the reality.
And Guy Davidi, final question. When do you head for Los Angeles and Hollywood?
We just came from a short visit where we tried to promote the film. And we're going to head back in a week and a half to before the Oscars. I forgot to mention that if you want to see that video that I mentioned about the documentation of high school in Tel Aviv and how Israeli children watch the film, you can go and watch it on the campaign that I've opened up on Indiegogo. You just type Indiegogo and you look for Five Broken Cameras and you can see this beautiful video and you can contribute if you want or not.
Thank you both very much for being with us today, and we wish you the best of luck on Oscar night.
Thank you.
Our guests were the co-producers and co-directors of the film Five Broken Cameras. They joined us from our bureau in New York, Emad Burnat and Guy Davidi. You can find all of our interviews with the filmmakers behind Oscar's top documentaries at our website. That's at npr.org. Eastern Long Island, still recovering from Superstorm Sandy, is under a blizzard watch through Saturday. New York City is expecting 4 to 6 inches. Mayor Michael Bloomberg says plows and 250,000 tons of salt are on standby. And in Boston, Mayor Thomas Menino has already announced the city's public schools will be closed tomorrow. A major storm heading for the Northeast. We here in the D.C. area, apparently we dodged a bullet, maybe some freezing rain. Tomorrow, Talk of the Nation Science Friday with a look at the science of slumber. We'll be back with you on Monday to talk about the new American boom towns in the oil and natural gas explosion in the American West. Join us for that. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.